Welcome to the GeoMob Podcast, where we discuss geo-innovation in any and all forms, whether for fun or profit. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the GeoMob Podcast. Today, my guest is Shoaib Burk, and he is a two-time GeoMob Berlin speaker. Most recently, he spoke at our event in early June, presenting his new project, his new startup called GeoBase, which was a pretty phenomenal presentation that with of a very interesting product. And frankly, at our GeoMob events, we only give the speakers 15 minutes to present their project, and it wasn't enough because this is a very powerful piece of software that he and his team have been working on. And so I wanted to get him here on the podcast so he can take us all through that and we can go a bit deeper. So welcome to the show.
How's it going? I'm good.
Thanks very much for speaking at GeoMob Berlin. It was a very impressive presentation.
My pleasure.
But before we dive into GeoBase, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and what your background is in geospatial?
Yeah. So thanks, Ed, for organizing the GeoMob events and this podcast. It's really a service to the community. I'm Shoaib. I'm Australian, born in Pakistan, now living in Berlin. And my background in geo is essentially from university. Like, I did my computer science degree, but I also did a geomatic engineering degree with a specialization in underwater mapping. And for nearly like 3 years, I worked for the Marines Division of Geoscience Australia, working on offshore mapping. But while mapping, I was sitting on ships writing code to process the data coming from sensors from underwater, it's a geophysical sensor that was mapping the ocean floor. So I have a very sort of deep understanding of the whole life cycle of geospatial data collection, all the way down to like end user experience of using that data, with really hands on with it, right? And then after geoscience, I kind of moved. I decided I wanted to focus more on the software engineering side of things. As much as romantic and amazing and working outdoors and on ships is, it has its downsides. So I moved to Berlin, and with my co-founder Kashif Rasool and I, we started a company that was in 2011 offering a single click PostGIS as a service in the cloud. This is like way before, RDS or any of the Amazon databases as a service. And, that was a mild success. We ended up selling that company in 2013. So since then, and that company also came out of like research group in Phi University, which is a university in Berlin, a group called the Databases Group there. And the main person there was with Professor Weizard, who wrote the book called Spatial Databases. It's like the most authoritative book on geospatial databases. It goes into the details of how they're built. It was a book that I kind of went to bed with in my undergraduate years. So there was a professor there, and so we got some funding through that university and spun out a company from that. After that, I've just been consulting in the whole geospatial world. I'm a sort of consulting CTO at a company based out of Australia, but also I wear many hats. I'm also on the board of Humanitarian OpenStreetMap, and I'm generally involved in the open source community. We contributed code back to PostGIS. So if you've used the PostGIS's function called geometry to GeoJSON and GeoJSON to geometry, that's us. We wrote that.
Okay. So a very deep background in geospatial and also in data and databases. So I guess this makes you the perfect person to start a product called GeoBase, which is obviously Geo. It's also databases. So what exactly is GeoBase? How can we, for someone who has never heard of it, what is this product?
Yeah. So it's a good follow-on. So I will use some terms. Some of your listeners may not be familiar with, but just ask me when I use some acronyms. So it's a backend as a service, right? A backend as a service basically means the ideal customer for it is a developer that is focused mostly on building user-facing products using web, mobile, or even augmented reality headsets, and they are predominantly interested in creating an amazing user experience, but don't want to have to worry about all the back-end services that power it. So that's the category it falls under. And now we can get more deeper into it. It's a geospatial backend as a service, or geospatial software developers backend as a service. And the idea behind it was really that's really twofold. One is that we, based on our experience, we're seeing a category of developers emerging called geospatial developer. So it's a thing now. You can go to the internet and look for a job as a geospatial developer, right? And they will say you need to know all this geospatial technology, plus you need to know all this JavaScript and server side and all this other things. So it's like a merging of the two fields, and it's become a real driver for demand for services in the market. It's a skill set.
So if I understand correctly, if I need to build a geospatial application, basically this handles all of the data storage issues for me and those kind of pieces, and I just kind of dump my data in, and then you kind of make sure that's available to me and queryable and I guess redundant and things like that, and I don't need to worry about what server is it on and things like that, and I can just start querying away. And then I just take care of the front end, the user interface. Is that roughly how I should think of it?
Yeah, but there's a second thing that's driving it too, right? The second thing that's driving it is that the modern JavaScript developer, or like a developer, is very much that's the way you described it is how they work, and that's like the typical JavaScript developer today is 31 years old. It's very different to how we built, you and I built applications, say, 10 years ago. And so they've come to expect this kind of thing. But at the same time, it's not like they don't know what is happening in the background. Like, they know that it's on a PostgreSQL server, right? They know that. They need to write SQL. but they don't want to have to manage it. And like you said, worry about, the side of things, like just...
So give us some ideas, like in practical terms, of the use cases of this. Like who is using it? Who are the customers? Who should use it? Like, what would be the problem where I would say, GeoBase is the perfect solution to this?
Yeah. So typical customer would be it could be a company that is doing software development, and they come across a project where the Geo is a component of it. But it's not the only component, right? So the thing that we take care of is the fact that we've actually approached the whole thing to the opposite of what our industry has been doing lately. Our industry has tended to be like spatial is special. We're going to build products that are very good at doing geo, and then if you want to do something else, you have to integrate with us. Whereas I think we're kind of missing out on that creates friction for a certain class of developers. So that class of developers is the ones that want really powerful experiences, like real-time use cases where data and developers are users are dealing with a front end that has real-time capabilities, that has ability to connect to big databases like Google Cloud, Google BigQuery. It has the ability to handle, but still able to handle like ordinary use cases as well, like take care of security, authentication, and real time, like I mentioned. So the way we approached is that we need to use the best in class for the software engineer and tack into that the best in class for Geo. Versus, here's the best in class of Geo, do what you normally do and integrate with us. And this philosophy actually works. It's proven to work. The reason I say that is because if you look at PostgreSQL, it's the best database out there and the most popular database arguably out there in the world. And according to some recent surveys, the most popular extension in PostgreSQL is PostGIS. So just think about that for a second. What does PostGIS do? PostGIS does not go and say, here's a database, come put your geospatial data in us. They say, here's PostgreSQL, you already use it. Here's an extension to it. And if you know PostgreSQL, here's a gentle learning curve to knowing how to use geospatial. Now, why can't we extend that all the way up the stack, right? And that's the motivation behind GeoBase.
I can imagine many of our listeners, you know, obviously what you say makes complete sense. On the other hand, it becomes a bit threatening. If I'm the expert at doing these geospatial things and all of a sudden, you know, software comes along that's just like, you know what, we've solved it all for you. It's completely abstracted at the click of a button. You know, we'll optimize the database for you and everything. I mean, that's a lot to swallow, frankly. I mean, both from a psychological point of view, but also, you know, from you can imagine many grizzled veterans kind of, you know, shaking their heads saying, oh, that's not possible. You know, there's always edge cases. There's always, you know, you need to really control the data and get your hands dirty and get deep into it for it to really work. And how do you think about that?
Yeah, so I think if you get to use GeoBase, you will find in the end you still get super user access to your database if you're a power user. And in the end, it is predominantly built on the way it's architectured is just PostgreSQL, and then a number of services sitting on top of it, and you can still connect to it. And in the end, the way you as a developer interact with it is by writing. You know, you can write your JavaScript code, but you can also write SQL functions that a veteran geospatial expert who is expert in PostGIS would be the best person to do. It helps them extend their skill set into the realm of software engineering, and by taking some of that, you know, domain knowledge and turning them into functions that can then be queried using a front end. I mean, I totally get the, and you know, in the end, we're not leaving behind GIS people because our industry is not, GIS is not going anywhere. So you can still take your QGIS or Esri software and connect to a PostGIS database using a secure connection if you wanted to. So, I come from that veteran industry and I don't think that is going anywhere. That's needed. We still have, you know, large government departments using legacy systems and lots of internal data sets, and we still want to be able to cater them.
Well, it's fascinating because I mean, looking around on your site, which first of all I advise all listeners to do because it's really quite well designed, but it has many examples of the powerful things you can do, and also not just examples, but actually templates that people can use to get started for common use cases. And one of your templates, a very common geospatial application, is around a real estate search. And you know, I don't know if you know this, but I for 10 years I ran a real estate search site. And you know, this was 20 years ago. It was kind of when Google Maps first came out. But I mean, it's mind blowing when I look at what your template provides in terms of functionalities. I mean, that someone could get started with that really quickly, whereas it took us literally years to build some of these functions. You know, the functionality is, I mean, partially it was a different time. The possibilities of client-side JavaScript just weren't there yet at that time. But I mean, it's really impressive. And I honestly think looking at it, you know, probably in a week, I could have the equivalent service running that took us years to build at that time. I mean, it's really, it's shocking. It's shocking when we look at how far things have come and how many layers of abstraction and have been done there. And you have many other of these templates. I mean, real estate is one. I saw you have one for, fleet tracking, asset tracking as vehicles move around and things like that. Take us through some of the other kind of use cases that they have there.
Yeah, it's been, you know, to be honest, like part of it is a bit selfish. I love building software, especially geospatial software. It's very addictive and fun. So it was a bit haphazardous, like my presentation. But afterwards that weekend, I had a friend who was a game developer, and we sat down and I said to him, "Look, you're familiar with what we're building. How about we brainstorm and build a game over a weekend?" And now we have a multi-user player game that uses functionality of GeoBase, so the routing, PG routing that's built into it. Plus, it has real-time push notifications and WebSockets built into it, which means you can build a multiplayer.
I had the pleasure of playing the game, but I don't fully recall whether I won or lost.
it's too late.
It was a fun little game, but it involved, I remember pressing on the map and moving the thing around. But it's amazing to think that someone, you could build something like that so quickly, you know, for a mobile interface, you know, with minimal domain expertise. It's just phenomenal the tools that are now available to us and the usability. As I said, I really do recommend everyone check out the site because it really looks very slick. What kind of learning curve do you think it would take for someone? So if let's consider an average web developer. So if I go to GeoBase and click, create account, how long will it take me to start getting productive? If I have no background at all is there a steep learning curve to learning GeoBase, or what should I expect?
I feel like that's part of our part of our challenge. So depending on your background, it's going to be a different paths to learning how to use it. But going from putting your data in to building to having an actual map is literally, a few clicks or a few minutes, and then you can get started. The thing is that we have extended an existing open source project called Superbase, and Superbase is an open source alternative to Firebase. So I don't know if you know Firebase, but Firebase is a real-time database that is owned by Google. And really the big goal behind it was like to be a backend as a service for mobile and web developers that wanted to build real-time apps. So if you're coming from that world, it'll be pretty easy. If you're coming from geospatial world and have no experience of software development, we're going to lead you by the hand to get to a point where you can start building things. If you come from a background of the mix of the two, then you're the ideal person. You're going to have no problems. It's something that we're paying attention to is how do we help the user, become productive as quickly as possible. And we have a little, we have a dashboard where you when you come in and you see me walk through a little example, because we have some pre-loaded data sets in there, and you just click on it and it loads the data set and becomes available as a vector tile server endpoint, and then you can use MapLibre or whatever your favorite leaflet or whatever your favorite front-end technology is and start being productive in seconds.
Okay, well, let's it's very, very impressive technically. Let's talk a little bit more about the business aspect of this. So what stage is this project in? You have a company now working on this? You've raised some funding, or you had some funding from other projects? And then what is the business model around it? What should customers expect?
Yeah, we have some funding from inner circle, friends and family. We are currently in private beta. So right now, if you go to the website, you will be asked to join the waiting list. So I encourage everyone to do that, and I'll reach out to you, and we'll help you onboard or show you a demo, whatever you like. So what was the second part of the question? The business model, right? So the business model is really, it's based on projects. So when you create a project, you get certain resources in terms of database and compute, right? So that's how we price it. So we price it based on your size of the data set, the volume of data that you're storing, and then the compute size that you are dealing with. So if you're expecting a heavy workload, then you probably want a bigger compute and more data, the bigger storage, and so on. And then the pricing starts around $150 per project.
And this is live now. Anyone can sign up. It's ready to be used in production, or you're still kind of in a beta phase.
We're in beta phase. We've got some beta customers now, and we're going to make generally available probably in the next month.
Can you tell us a bit about these customers? Like, not their names, but like, what kind of profile are they? What type of organization?
Yeah. So there are some companies that are using us they're a logistics company in Poland that is using us to store their data from the orders, and have an app that's for logistics for the drivers to do deliveries. There's another company that's in California. I think they're using us to visualize and analyze solar energy potential, and then sell leads for selling solar panels. There's a company that's using the real estate problem, not real estate, but optimal site location for a large chain of restaurants to find the most optimal location and build a sort of database of layers that to find the most optimal location for their next store.
Well, congratulations. Very, very promising start. And, hopefully a few listeners will from this episode will take the site for a spin and get it going. I could imagine there's also a very compelling use case just even around prototyping and things like that. If I have a big project, this is the fastest way to get, a first MVP up and play with it, even if then the next step is to transition it away from a hosted solution and maybe bring it in-house or whatever, but just as a way to start, to get something visual as quickly as possible so you can start iterating on it. It's a very compelling tool.
Totally. And look, the database is not something proprietary. It's completely open source, right? So it's you can dump your data out, you can take it somewhere else, and there's no lock-in. Yeah, you're right. Like the indie developers, and like the fact that a game developer is interested now in trying to build another game from it is also potential customers, right? I think I'm really keen to explore what people are going to do with it, because, you know, I come from a geo background, but that kind of it can be a handicap in some sense, because we're too close to that field, and it's important to. For me, it's actually one of the big reasons I feel like I'm want to do this is because I think that more indie developers that are not doing geo would like to do geo, but they just don't have the know-how or the access to the industrial strength, the stack that needs to be in their hands and easily available to do this.
Well, this is one of the key points that I always say about GeoMob, is that the most interesting presentations for me are often not people pushing the forefront of geospatial technologies. I mean, that's often very impressive, but it's more the people building some service for normal people. And now, because the technologies are available, they're able to integrate some kind of geospatial aspect to something that previously didn't have it. And they're able, and often these are, you know, people with no geospatial background at all.
And I agree. And they're the most, it's been the most interesting for me is meeting people like that. Yeah.
Well, congrats to you and your team then for getting this going. I mean, it's just looking at the site and also from your presentation a couple weeks ago, I mean, it looks immensely powerful. And so I really do encourage all of our listeners to have a look and play with it. And, I'm going to check it out on the next time we have a new project where it might be applicable. So thanks very much for coming on the show. Any final messages you want to leave our listeners with?
No, just go to geobase.app and get yourself on the waiting list if you're interested. And hopefully we'll see you on the other side and see what you build with it. It'll be awesome.
Well, we'll of course have that linked in the show notes so that people can get to it quickly. But check it out. Thanks again for coming on the show. And I will see you at all future GeoMob Berlins.
Indeed, I will. Thanks, Ed. Really appreciate your time.
Thanks for joining us today on the GeoMob Podcast. We hope you enjoyed the discussion. You can get the show notes over on the website, which is at thegeomob.com. While you're there, you can sign up for our monthly newsletter and find links to our accounts on Mastodon and LinkedIn, so that you can stay up to date on all our upcoming events. Hope to see you at an event soon.